This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Man killed an officer-involved shooting northwest of Wichita. We have the story.
A heavily armed man arrested near a Trump rally. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
WPD is seeking more money for flock cameras and gunshot detection technology. I'm Phil Hildebrand, and I'll have that story coming up.
A 27-year-old man is dead after he was shot and killed by law enforcement officers northwest of Wichita Saturday morning in the 6900 block of Childs near 45th Street and Ridge Road. Officers found a man in the front yard of a home wearing ballistic body armor. For over an hour, officers and deputies tried to de-escalate the situation as the man repeatedly entered and exited the car he was driving up and down the street. Sedgwick County Sheriff Colonel Keith Allen says the situation came to a head around 8:15 a.m.
Suspect exited his vehicle and began charging at officers, and officers did return fire at the suspect, striking him, and the suspect did die on scene.
Man's name has not been released. Colonel Allen couldn't say if the man was armed. He says that will be part of the investigation.
Police and emergency services responded to a fatal shooting in South Wichita shortly after midnight on Saturday morning in the 4200 block of South Hydraulic, the Emory Gardens apartment complex. Officers found one man suffering from a gunshot wound to the chest. He died at the hospital. The victim was identified as 30-year-old Marco Gonzalez Arias. During an investigation, police located a 22-year-old suspect with stab wounds who had fled the scene. He was hospitalized and is expected to survive. He has been arrested.
A man found with a shotgun, loaded handgun, and ammunition in his vehicle was arrested outside former President Trump rally in California.
Police say a 49-year-old Las Vegas man was driving an SUV to the former president's rally in Coachella when he was stopped by Riverside County Sheriff's deputies. He was arrested just 1 minute before that rally was supposed to start. He was charged on suspicion of possessing a loaded firearm and possession of a high-capacity magazine. He was released on $5,000 bail. The sheriff's department said this incident did not impact the safety of former President Trump or attendees of the event. No word yet on why the man's vehicle was stopped. Jill Nato, Fox News.
A man is dead after an apartment fire Saturday night in East Wichita. Firefighters were called to the 2700 block of East 9th at about midnight. The victim was located during a search of the structure, EMS pronouncing that victim dead on the scene. No further details available.
The Wichita City Council is considering giving the police department more money for flock cameras and gunshot detection technology.
The WPD wants 31 more flock safety readers. They take photos of license plates to try and track suspects and stolen vehicles. Wichita police said it first started utilizing flock technology in November 2020, and since then, the devices have led to the recovery of $5.4 million in stolen property and clearances of numerous violent crimes, including homicide. Council members are also considering whether to expand a gunshot detection system. The WPD said it began using Flock Raven gunshot detection devices in places considered hotspots for gun crime in 2022. The cost for both of these requests from the WPD is just over $186,000 for 1 year. The council will discuss them at their meeting on Tuesday. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
President Joe Biden traveled to Central Florida to survey damage Hurricane Milton left behind and reassure residents that help is coming.
President Biden toured by helicopter and by car areas of St. Petersburg hard hit by Hurricane Milton and took time to greet first responders. The president said he wants to get this and other areas back on their feet, and that starts with debris removal.
To clear roads, to get wreckage into the two hurricanes off properties, and so more folks can return home and businesses can receive much-needed deliveries of food,
fuel, medicine, and other essentials.
As part of rebuilding storm-ravaged infrastructure, the president announced more than $600 million will go to affected areas, in part to reinforce power grids and reduce outages in future storms. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
We got Monday Night Football tonight. We'll get a preview and a thriller for Shocker Volleyball yesterday at Coke Arena. We'll take a look at that coming up in sports.
Election Day is 3 weeks from tomorrow. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. At least four Israeli soldiers were killed by a Hezbollah drone strike on an army base in central Israel Sunday. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer has more.
Officials say more than 60 people were hurt, making it one of the bloodiest attacks on Israeli soil since the war began last October. All this coming as Israel continues to weigh how it will respond to Iran's recent large-scale missile attack. U.S. officials believe they may target Iranian military bases and infrastructure. It's still not clear when a response might be carried out. Iran is warning there are no red lines in defending its country's interest. Tehran says it will retaliate against any new attack by Israel.
In a rare move, the United States will be deploying 100 troops to Israel to help bolster its air defenses.
Members of the United States House of Representatives are not in agreement on when the body should vote to put more disaster relief money at FEMA's disposal.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, who could call members back, says now is not the time because the totals for what may be needed for FEMA can't be predicted.
These storms are so large in their scope and magnitude, it's going to take a little bit of time to make those calculations.
Democratic House member Maxwell Frost of Florida says members should return to ensure FEMA has what it needs.
Why would we leave it up to chance and wait till something happens when we can make sure that we do that work now?
Both men on CBS Face the Nation. Hurricane season runs through the end of November. The House is not scheduled to meet in Washington again until November 12th. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Election Day is just 3 weeks from tomorrow, but hundreds of thousands of people have already voted.
A Gallup poll finds 4 in 10 voters as of late September had planned to vote early or absentee or had already done so. A New York Times tracker reported as of Friday afternoon that just under 3.7 million votes had been cast, most of them absentee. While most states have already started sending out absentee ballots, the Voting Rights Lab tracker notes nearly all states allow for early in-person voting too, but most open that up closer to Election Day. 34 states allow anywhere from 3 to 20 days of early in-person voting. The others allow for more than that. The Real Clear Politics average of polls has the former president ahead in 6 swing states, but by less than a point. Vice President Harris is ahead in Wisconsin by less than a point. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Former President Bill Clinton visited the battleground state of Georgia yesterday, campaigning for Vice President Kamala Harris. Clinton rallied supporters to get out and vote and to vote early.
A Gallup poll finds 4
in 10. I'm just telling you, this whole election and the future of the country is turning out to be what people who were sort of on the fence about voting are going to do in the next 3.5 weeks.
And early voting starts tomorrow in Georgia.
KNSS News Time now, 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock.
And let's get our traffic update as we take a look at what's going on. Check in with the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam, looking at the one at Kellogg and Greenwich. Slow moving traffic there, some heavy volumes this morning, a little bit slow both ways on Greenwich. As we take a look at what's going on in our traffic here on this Monday morning commute. Traffic update, Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. It's Monday morning.
Here we are.
Yeah, we had that temperature change over the weekend. You know, Saturday, pretty toasty and sunny out there. And then wrapping up the weekend yesterday with temperatures that just weren't as warm and feeling the effects of a cold front, especially early this morning. As a lot of you get back into your work week routines, just make sure that you grab that jacket. You'll likely need it this morning. A lot of us right now in the 40s, and then only getting up to a high of 69 degrees. It's going to be pretty nice out there later on this afternoon under those mostly sunny skies. Winds are going to continue to be pretty light too. Clear skies tonight, allowing us to dip down to a chilly low of 44 degrees. So going to be another chilly start to our Tuesday about 24 hours from now. Plenty of sunshine tomorrow afternoon. And pleasant again under mainly sunny skies, getting up to 64 degrees. Now, a northeast breeze is going to be a bit stronger at 10 to 25 miles an hour. Once we get into the middle of the week, still pleasant, 63 for a high Wednesday under mostly sunny skies. A little bit warmer during the second half of the week, Thursday, 73. And then 75 on Friday, a little bit warmer, but still near average. We'll also see rain chances return to the forecast later on this week, too. We only have a 10% chance on Friday, but then bumping that up to a 20% chance both Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 70s. Right now, we're at 47 degrees, light north wind at 7 miles an hour, and very little cloud cover out there.
Now, we're more than 9 inches below normal on our precipitation. It just keeps getting worse. We need some showers. We need a little rain here.
Yeah, at least there's some on the horizon. Still a little bit too early to call our weekend a washout, but we'll continue to shape and shift that picture as we get closer to the weekend.
Okay, thanks, Ronell. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Steve at 10 in the morning, and yesterday's high temperature, Sunday's high 77 degrees in Wichita. The normal high for the date is 72. This is the
Now we're going to be below normal for a few days.
This is the 14th day of October, 2024. It was on this date in 1964, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was named winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. That was in 1964. Birthdays today. How about this one? Fashion designer Ralph Lauren is 85.
Very famous.
Yeah. Actually, his birth name is Ralph Lifshitz.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but no wonder he changed it. The brand Ralph Lauren, a global multi-billion dollar enterprise.
Yep.
Polo, for one of his products.
Oh, yeah.
Been a very, very, very successful
back in the day when every stylish guy had a polo shirt. Had a shirt with a polo logo on it. Yeah, that was big time.
We had, over the weekend, Friday Night Football, of course.
Yes.
One of my granddaughters, Mary, is cheering for Carol again in her senior year. And they were playing Carol. They were playing Capen over at Carol. And it was got a little lopsided there, Ted. Capen was kind of ran over them a little bit.
A little bit?
Well, I was a final.
42 to nothing.
42, yeah. They were 35, I think, when I went home. But did run into somebody, an acquaintance of mine, Wichita Police Chief, retired former Wichita Police Chief, and retired May City Manager Richard Lemonion was there.
At the Cape and Carroll game.
Oh, yeah. His son is...
Why wasn't he at the Mays South game?
Oh, he doesn't care about them. His son's a teacher, administrator, vice principal at Carroll.
Okay, there's the connection.
I'm not sure what it is, but he's the guy who keeps my grandkids in line over there. So, yeah, Richard was there. We stood up there and talked for quite a while, but we were in people's way, so we let him go and watch the game. But it was nice to see him. He's doing very well. And they had a pregame, the school puts on these tailgate parties, and they had them catered in. I'm not sure who it was this week. Maybe Hog Wild. Anyway, Mark Eisman was there. This guy, when I paid my bill to get in, I asked for a senior citizen discount, and he denied that to me. He said, you're cheap. Get out of here. Get out of my face. So, yeah. So thank you, Mark.
Rude.
No, he was nice to me. All right, so we got a new Columbus Day poll finding that we're still more likely to say we should celebrate it. 43% of Americans approve celebrating Columbus Day. 23%.
About the same number that approves of every political candidate.
Yeah.
About 43%.
23% disapprove. The other third say they either don't know or don't really care.
Or don't know or don't care.
I got a few quick Columbus Day stats for you this morning. 69% agree he played an important part in American history. Kind of hard to argue with that one. Kind of hard to argue with that one. But we're split on whether he was more of a hero or a villain. Most popular answer was neither or both, or it's complicated. But 35% hero, 20% said villain. Around one in four Americans think most of what they learned in school about Columbus wasn't true, really. 25% still think he was the first explorer to reach North America. The Vikings actually had a settlement in Canada almost five centuries earlier.
Yeah, but nobody knew that.
Yeah, they were Canadians.
Most people didn't know that.
Yeah. There you go.
We know that now.
Facts about Columbus Day, 718.
Now, you know, you talked about
go ahead.
You talked about not knowing and not caring. Remember old former Shocker women's basketball coach Daryl Smith always said, "What's your problem? Are you ignorant or apathetic?" Says, "I don't know and I don't care."
Yeah, there you go. Perfect answer. All right. It's 718 now, Steve, at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And sports time with Ted Woodward. Ted.
All righty. Let's take a look at Monday Night Football tonight. We've got a matchup between the first-place Buffalo Bills visiting the New York Jets. Both teams are coming off back-to-back losses. Expected to be close. The Bills are a one-point favorite. Let's get a preview.
It's been a wild week for the Jets. On Tuesday, owner Woody Johnson announced that Robert Saleh would no longer serve as head coach just five games into the season, naming Jeff Ulbrich as interim coach. 2 days later, Ulbrich tabbed Todd Downing as the new offensive play caller, taking that role away from Nathaniel Hackett. Amid all the change, the Jets will try and snap a two-game losing streak when they welcome the Bills to MetLife Stadium at 8:15 Eastern. Despite starting the year 2-3, a win for the Jets, and they're tied atop the AFC East standings. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
All right. So you've got Monday Night Football, Bills-Jets. You can listen to that one live at 7 o'clock tonight. That's on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Some other NFL action. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs had a bye week. They did not play this weekend. Right. Chiefs are atop the NFL with a 5-0 record. Who's right behind the Chiefs in the conference?
Don't know.
Houston Texans.
Really?
First place Texans went on the road at New England yesterday, 41-21. Getting some time at wide receiver for the Texans from the Kansas Jayhawks, Steven Sims. He had four punt returns, including a 19-yard punt return that set up a Texans touchdown. He also had a 25-yard kickoff return, 55 return yards for Steven Sims, the Kansas Jayhawk, yesterday. Three wins in a row for the Houston Texans. They are 5-1 on the season. All right, let's take a look at Shocker volleyball action yesterday. 1,200 fans at Coke Arena. Shockers hosting Florida Atlantic. Terrible start for the Shocks. They got pounded in set one, pounded again in set number two. But Coach Chris Lamb had a plan, and the Shockers win the third set. They win the fourth set. And then they won the fifth set, 16-14, and came back to beat Florida Atlantic 3-2. Katie Galligan had a couple of service aces. Maddie Wilson with 11 kills and 7 blocks. And pretty good stuff as the Shocks get the win. Annalie Hellesty also had 20 digs as the Shocks get the win. Shocker volleyball now 4-2 in the conference, tied for third place. And they'll talk about it tonight, the weekly edition of the Chris Lamb Show with the Shocker volleyball coach, hosted by the play-by-play voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy. Chris Lamb radio show, 6 o'clock tonight, and that is over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Yesterday at a ceremony in Topeka, the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame inducting a dozen new members to the organization, including Ron Nugent from East High School here in Wichita. He was an All-American swimmer at KU. Another inductee, former Wichita State men's basketball coach Mark Turgeon, who took the Shockers to the Sweet 16. Among the inductees yesterday into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. And a couple of baseball birthdays today. How about former Wichita Arrows pitcher Ed Figueroa? He is 76 today. By the time he pitched for the Arrows in 1981, he had already won two World Series rings with the New York Yankees. And he's the only pitcher from Puerto Rico with a 20-win season in the major leagues.
Ooh.
Okay. Former Arrows pitcher Ed Figueroa, he is 76 years old today. And a happy birthday to former Kansas City Royals player Willie Mays Akins. Is 70 years old today. First baseman for the Royals, played 8 years in the big leagues, half of those with the Royals. In his final year with the Royals, he hit .302 in 1983. Pretty good hitter.
Yeah, how about that?
Former Royals first baseman Willie Mays Akins. It's his birthday. He is 70 years old today. And that's sports with Steve and Ted.
722 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. How long can we expect to live? That's coming up with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 here on this Monday morning, 48 degrees. Gasoline prices are decreasing across the country. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg has the latest numbers.
Gasoline prices edged down another 2 cents in the past 2 weeks, and the new average is $3.26.
But oil prices surged up 17 cents per gallon to now exceed over $7 a barrel. Lundberg says the wars in the Middle East are causing the prices of oil to increase.
Many areas of central Florida hit hard by Hurricane Milton are still struggling to get their basic necessities back up and running.
Several cities that were in the path of Milton are coming together to help one another as much as they can with food and debris removal. But Sarasota Mayor Liz Alpert said on ABC's This Week, help with utilities is yet to come in some areas.
There's still no water out to the barrier islands or power, but we're hoping by maybe end of the day Monday that that will be resolved.
Mayor Alpert said Sarasota did not have a single rescue call during Milton and believes that could be because Hurricane Helene convinced people not to stay for a second storm. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Wichita police announced the death of one of their canine officers. Canine Saul died while following a battle with an aggressive, rapidly spreading cancer. The dog was taken to a veterinarian because he wasn't feeling well, tests revealing multiple tumors. Saul was euthanized. Saul's service began 5 years ago. The dog had been deployed on 375 drug sniffs, resulting in numerous arrests.
One of the issues that has plagued the state of Kansas in recent years is properly funding schools. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winston Earl Sears, a Republican, was asked about the secret for school funding success in their state.
Well, what we have done is employed something we call common sense. In Virginia, remember now, Virginia is, as I said, a blue to purple, purple to blue state. So we had to have Democrats who believed in us, believed that our message was common sense and that we could convince them that we would be for them as much as for everybody else. So that's what we have to do.
Winsome Earl Sears was a guest Sunday night on the John Whitmer Show on KNSS.
Vice President Kamala Harris wrapped up a series of rallies and appearances in Battleground, North Carolina during the weekend. Fox's Alexis McAdams recaps in Greenville, North Carolina.
Well, you can tell how important the state of North Carolina is by looking at how many times the candidates have been here. Kamala Harris has been to the state 19 times and counting just this election cycle. So she's really focusing in here and trying to win over some of those voters, telling the crowd that it's time to move forward from former President Trump, saying she wanted to debate him. But hey, he's weak and unstable. So I asked people here, what do you want to hear from her? Do you want to hear about her plan for the economy? Is it her plan for the border that you like? They said it's none of that. It's basically that she's not former President Trump. So polls show Harris and former President Trump are in a dead heat. If the race was today, they both have 48% of voter support, according to the latest NBC News poll.
And former President Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, have both been to North Carolina repeatedly during the last few months.
Today marks a federal holiday as well as a commemoration day.
Columbus Day is a federal holiday that commemorates the arrival of Christopher Columbus in the Americas. It's been a national holiday since the 1930s, but in recent years there's been a push to refocus the day on Native American customs and heritage. This year, Indigenous Peoples Day and Columbus Day are recognized today, as they occur each year on the second Monday of October. While Indigenous Peoples Day is not a federal holiday, in 2023, the Biden administration issued a proclamation in recognition for the third year in a row. Due to the federal holiday of Columbus Day, post offices, banks, some schools, and federal agencies are closed. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Mostly sunny skies for your Monday. High of 69 degrees after a noticeably cooler start this morning. Definitely going to need those jackets before you head out the door. Northeast wind going to be light as it switches out of the southeast at 5 to 15 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And a few clouds now. 48 degrees, a northeast wind at 8 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:35 Monday morning, and it's time for Mondays with the Mayor, Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. Good morning, Mayor Wu.
Good morning. How are the two of you?
Fantastic.
Terrific. I'll tell you, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you were busy again this weekend. It was a great weather to get out and do things. What did you have on your agenda?
Well, it was a jam-packed weekend. Yesterday, I walked 19,500 steps.
Whoa!
I participated in the 5K for the Prairie Fire. So thank you to all the 2,500 who participated in that marathon or half marathon as well as the 5K. Then we had Open Streets ICT, where we closed down 4 miles of Douglas, and that was amazing. Had the opportunity to not just welcome at Kennedy Plaza, but also had the opportunity to go to a rally over at New Life Covenant Church to talk about the foster care system. There are about 1,300 kiddos who are in foster care here in Sedgwick County. So this was an opportunity to talk about how we can stand in the gap for families and youth who are in the foster care system. And then ended the night at the Lebanese dinner. It was the 89th annual Lebanese dinner. So that was fantastic. But there's just so much going on in Wichita. And I do have to give a shout out. And I have a question for the two of you. Do you know how many cities Kansas actually has?
How many cities? Ted's left the room. I'm going to say 250.
Okay, well, no. The city of Wichita hosted the League of Kansas Municipalities over the last 4 days, and the league represents the cities all across this great state, and there are 625 cities, and Wichita is the largest city in the state of Kansas. So it was really nice to host all these different cities across the community to come to Wichita. They got to check out our restaurants, our venues, and so I think it's always neat when we have conferences that are hosted right here in downtown Wichita.
That's a lot of people. Now, obviously, you had some sort of they were showing presentations, seminars, sessions to break out and talk, things like that, like a usual convention, I would presume.
Yes. We had also not just the conference itself. We had an expo where the cities connected with different resources. And so it's really neat to be able to be the host. Next year I'll be up in Overland Park. So whenever Wichita gets that opportunity, it's important. I also serve as one of the board members for the League of Kansas Municipalities because Wichita, again, is the largest city.
Absolutely. Hey, we've got a city council meeting coming up tomorrow, I understand.
Yes.
And would you like to tell us?
Lots going on that agenda.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Sure. So two of them happen to be housing opportunities. There are two types of developers that are looking to provide housing in the downtown area. One of them happens to be over at 155 North Market. They want to renovate the 11-story building and convert it into 114 affordable housing units. So this group wants to provide housing that is much needed in downtown Wichita, and the rates of those apartments are much more affordable. They are hoping that the monthly rate is from $659 to $1,041 for studios, one- and two-bedroom apartments.
Wow. And what else you got going on?
Yeah, well, the agenda, again, I said it's really packed. Another one that's really interesting is the city is going to allocate about $500,000 to cultural arts funding. And so tomorrow we will talk about which organizations will get the amounts that they need to operate their organizations. Some of the large ones, let's see, the large one that got the most was Exploration Place. The medium-sized one that got the most was between Harvester Arts and the Kansas African American Museum. And then when it came to small organizations, the largest amount was for Regina Klenjowski Dance Company. So $510,000 will be allocated to cultural arts organizations, and we're really grateful that we're able to do that thanks to a group of committee members that have looked at these applications and have evaluated 39 applications.
Will there be a discussion on the flock cameras that the police use?
Yes. So another item that we will talk about is a grant from the federal government that will help us with what we've been calling the ARTIC, or the Real-Time Information Center. That grant allows for an opportunity to use technology to better respond to crimes. One of the things about flock license plate readers is that the city of Wichita implemented that through the department back in November of 2020. And since that time, those devices have led to recovery of at least $5.4 million in stolen property and clearances of a number of violent crimes, including homicides.
Wow. Very effective. All right, yeah. Jed, what you got?
Hey, Mayor Wu, I did want to, this is Columbus Day. And yeah, as someone who was born in Central America and might have had a different take on this than some of us around here.
Yeah.
What did your family, have a take on Columbus growing up? Was it different than ours?
No, I mean, I grew up here since I was 8 years old. So really my formative years are here in Wichita. And I just remember the days of not having school. I just heard you say lots of the banks as well as the post office are not open today, and not many schools are open today. So kiddos, if you're listening right now, there's an opportunity for you to go to, let's see, the old Cowtown Museum, because on Friday I had the opportunity to see the new unveiling of a statue that represents Billy the Kid and also his mother, Catherine McCarty. And she was really neat. She was one of the founding signatures for the city of Wichita. She was the only woman who signed one of the founding documents. So really neat things that are happening along the river. So check out Old Cowtown. Go to the All-American Indian Museum. There's great opportunities to do something that's productive on your day off.
Yeah, a lot of things to do. Hey, and the weather's been cooperating very well, except for the rain. We'd like to have some rain, right?
I agree. Okay. We need that rain. Again, thank you for those who are still practicing those measures to try to conserve water.
Yeah.
We really still need help over at Cheney Lake, and unfortunately, no rain in sight.
All right. How did the Asian Festival go this weekend?
Oh, it was so fantastic. As you know, I previously served for the Wichita Asian Association's board as their president, and so it's a near and dear to my heart type of event. And it was a great turnout. A lot of people came out to the Wichita Asian Festival, and really grateful for that.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Wu, and we will check with you again next week, Mondays with the Mayor. Wichita Mayor Lily Wu with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
Yeah.
And coming up, what we got coming up here? Oh, we got the Wichita Business Journal update on the way. Boeing is cutting jobs and production. Not very good news on the way, but that's coming up with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS 747 here on this Monday morning. Three big things.
Three.
A 27-year-old man killed in officer-involved shooting northwest of Wichita.
Two.
A man is shot to death, another man stabbed in south Wichita.
One.
Heavily armed man arrested near a Trump rally. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
And a traffic update here on your Monday morning commute. Let's see how things are going. Let's check the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam. Looking at the one at MacArthur and K-15. A little bit of slow-moving traffic just south of there. But otherwise, not too bad. We do have the report of a suspicious character. Police checking this out at 143rd Street East and 37th North. And the report of a possible disturbance in the 3100 block of North Rock Road. Police checking that out as well. Traffic update, Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Sunny today with a high of 68 degrees. Sunday's high was 77, by the way. Clear tonight, the overnight low 44. For Tuesday, sunny and breezy. Tomorrow's high, 63 degrees. Now, a few clouds, 48 degrees, a northeast wind at 8 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Another record-setting day on Wall Street Friday.
The major averages ending higher for the day in a week, with both the Dow and S&P 500 notching new records, and as big banks delivered upbeat earnings, and as another inflation update was mostly tame. Most of the 11 S&P 500 sectors ending in the green, with financials and industrials the biggest gainers. Bank stocks popped today following strong earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. The Dow winners, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and American Express. The Dow decliners, Salesforce, Apple, and IBM. The Dow up 410 points for its 36th record close of the year. The Nasdaq up 61. S&P 500 up 35 for its 45th record close of the year. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Local business news this morning. Boeing's new CEO, Kelly Ortberg, revealing plans to shutter production of the jet maker's commercial 767 planes in Everett. That's Everett, Washington, by 2027, and slash its workforce company-wide by 10% in the coming months. The decisions came on the heels of the company's announcement that it burned through $1.3 billion in cash in the third quarter amid a strike that has stopped work on its commercial production lines. Ortberg also revealed the company will push the first deliveries of its Everett, Washington-built wide-body 777X back another year. The cuts amount to around 17,000 jobs across Boeing's operations. The company has about 1,600 workers at its Gresham facility and around 67,000 employees in Washington State. Boeing, meanwhile, has an $8.3 billion deal to acquire Spirit AeroSystems in Wichita, its largest supplier, expected to close by mid-2025.
The newest rankings on the best public and private schools in the Wichita area are out. Niche.com, it's a website that tracks comprehensive profiles on colleges and schools, bases its annual ratings by considering test scores and academic performance, as well as resources and facilities, teacher evaluations, extracurricular activities, and ratings from students, alumni, and parents. Listing also ranks the best school districts in Wichita and Kansas. Andover Public Schools, the top rated in the Wichita area, ranked number 4 in the state, behind Blue Valley and Overland Park, DeSoto, and Olathe Public Schools. Notably, Wichita Collegiate School moved back up in the rankings as the number 1 private school in Kansas, with the independent school in third place. That's local business news from the Wichita Business Journal.
Ted, I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I know you were doing up and out and doing things all weekend.
Yeah,
right?
And Shocker Volleyball.
Shocker Volleyball.
Shocker Volleyball matches this weekend.
Mm-hmm. We had... My wife and I took some time Saturday, the two of us, to get together in the kitchen and double team making some of her fantastic tuna salad. It is really, really good.
Sounds good.
And I'm a helper.
You're a tuna helper.
There's also a three-bean salad that we make, which is really very Mediterranean and very healthy. I like it a lot.
I think you boys have had enough.
Let's see what else she's doing. And yesterday she decided she's going to make some chili.
It's that time
of year. First time of year, yeah.
It's that time of year.
So she started it on her chili and got it made last night. She said it's going to wait for a day before we eat it because she says it's better to have it the second day. So there you go.
Ooh, that's a good, plan.
She was really doing some great things.
Sounds like it.
Got a chance to drive around the neighborhood a little bit because we couldn't get anywhere because of the prairie fire race that the mayor was talking about. All of the streets were blocked up in Riverside. So anyway, we drove through some of the neighborhood we hadn't been for a while. And found one house where they had, it's Halloween, so they had a display of skeletons about every size and shape you can think of, including one skeleton that I swear was 10 feet tall.
Oh, yeah, I got those big ones now.
Now, where do you buy something like that? I guess online, right?
I didn't see them in a store. Have you seen them?
Lowe's and Home Depot don't have those.
Depot didn't have that. Okay. What Home Depot had when I was there yesterday was about an 8-foot Santa Claus. Very imposing. You want to put that out on the, you know, the jolly old elf? I thought he was a little guy, a little round fella. This guy was huge. And they had all these Christmas people who were like Dickens characters or something, fierce-looking, ugly thing. I'm thinking, man.
Oh, boy.
Whatever happened to the good old nativity scene?
Well.
I thought that's what it was all
Christmas
about.
Christmas has an edge for some people.
Yeah, but there's just all these inflatables are out there. The skeletons are all over the neighborhood in Riverside. People will put them out there and they'll dress them in their clothes. So, you know, it's like, I don't know what it means, but there you go. I don't decorate that much. We don't at all, as a matter of fact. But here, it's Halloween's becoming pretty heavy. There's a lot of stuff out there you can waste your money on this time of year, right? So anyway, good luck to you all who are decorating and helping us all celebrate Halloween. Today is National Kick Butt Day, a day to give yourself a kick in the seat of the pants.
Why would I want to do that to myself on a Monday?
The day aims to motivate marketers, advertisers, and those in the business world to work smarter and harder toward their goals.
Once again, a Monday.
How about it, Ted?
That ain't happening.
Huh? Do you think we need to kick ourselves in the seat of our pants?
No, because
first of all, that's kind of hard to do.
We perform at top notch every day.
That's right. We don't need a kick in the pants.
How can you excel past 100%?
Yeah. It's like they used to say in sports, and you give 110%.
No.
No.
I can give 100%.
100% is all you can
get. That's all I can do, man.
And if it's 100% of quality work like we provide.
Exactly.
Nobody can complain. So go ahead. If you need to kick yourself in the fanny, that's fine. Ted and I are not going to celebrate that today. All right? There you go. Coming up on the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted here on this Monday, Columbus Day. We'll have the latest on an officer-involved shooting, fatal shooting, northwest of Wichita. Ted will have a look at sports in the 8 o'clock hour, right?
Yeah, a thrilling win for Shocker Volleyball yesterday at home, and we'll take a look at that in sports.
And entertainment news on the way, too.
Yeah, good edition of Entertainment News in the Blur. Very good movie anniversaries today coming up. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
And we have back-to-work traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.